Heavenly Father, as we listen to your word in this message, we ask you to bless us to receive with meekness the engrafted word of God, which is able to save our souls. James chapter 1, verse 21. We love you, Jesus.
We are talking today about a fabulous topic. In fact, every one of us who realizes the depth of our depravity and sin should be really, really excited about this message. The Bible says that the hearts of fallen men after Adam and Eve are what? They're deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Jeremiah 17:9. The Bible says in Romans 3, we have all, not some, but all of us sinned and come short of the glory of God. So on the cross, dying for our sins, Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." So in light of God's love to us and forgiveness through Christ, we're going to examine what the Bible says our perspective should be toward others who have been forgiven also by Christ. I don't know about you guys, but I have to constantly be reminded of these things, of how unworthy I am to be forgiven by the blood of Jesus, in order to have and be possessed by the proper godly perspective toward other wayfaring men and women. Somebody has said this recently. They said, "I wish we were as concerned about our own sins as we are about the sins of others." Psalm 103, verse 10 through 13, about the mercy of God. "He," that's God, "hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities, for as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him." Amen. Psalm 103, 10 through 13. Now notice twice he speaks of, quote, "them that fear him." And those that fear him obey him, they trust him, they worship him. And these promises are appropriated only by those who repent and are saved, born again, and abide in Christ. All the promises of God are conditional, not unconditional. Those that are rebels at heart, they want the crown, but they don't want the cross. They want the blessing, but they don't want to meet the condition. God sent his only begotten Son so that you and I could have a personal relationship with him. As disciples of Christ, as students of the Lord, we have to approach his word, understanding that he didn't intend for us to be involved in religion, but to give us a personal relationship with him, John 17:3. That's why Jesus came. And in order for God to accomplish this great salvation, because he is holy, 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 he had to deal with and remove the sin that once separated us from him. And so upon repenting and being saved, putting our faith in Christ, God removed all of our sins through the blood of Jesus, and also gave us and mandated the crucified life to keep us separated from that sin that would otherwise separate us again from him. God washed us by the blood of Christ from our sins initially, and expects us to walk free from them through the cross life every day. Cross life, crucified life. So today in this message, we are learning to cultivate great thanksgiving to God for sending his only begotten Son to die in our place for our sins and bring us to himself. So the Bible tells us that we are partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. So we are cultivating a grateful heart to our Father in heaven for purchasing us back to himself through the blood of Christ. We're giving thanks unto the Father, the Bible says, which hath made us meet or fit to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, and he did that through the blood of Christ. This is Colossians 1, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet or fit to be partakers of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, Colossians chapter 1. God the Father forgives our sin through Christ's perfect sacrifice. What I personally continue to learn is that I must reckon with all the sins I have personally committed. I must take account. We must always confess our sins and never try to cover them. David said, I will declare my sins or iniquities. I will be sorry for my sins. Sin separates us from a holy God. No matter how big or little our sin may seem, it's still unholy and defiling in the eyes of a holy God. So we must keep all of the sin out of our lives, and the blood of Jesus is what we must contact, if you will, to be washed afresh as we repent afresh and confess our sins. Sins of omission and commission, when we neglect to do the will of God as stated in the Word of God, that is a sin. And so is directly violating the Word of God, such as thou shalt not steal. If we steal something, that is a commission, a committing of a sin that we know not to commit and a thing not to do. Here's a scripture about omission, or not doing what we know to do before God. It's James 4:17, which says, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus, while dying on the cross for my sins and your sins, he cried to the Father. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Our sins were what put Jesus on the cross. And Jesus forgave us while he was dying on the cross, and he requires that we forgive others freely as he forgave us. I want you to raise your hands if you know that Jesus said we're to even love our enemies. One more question. How many people know that Jesus went to the cross and forgave us while we were yet his enemies? It's important to understand that we cannot fulfill this command to love even our enemies without walking in oneness every day with the one who is love, who came and redeemed us. Walking in God's love is only possible through the crucified life. It's impossible to live the Christian life. We must die to self and be buried so that Christ can live his life through us. As Jesus forgave us, the Bible says that we're to forgive others freely as we have been forgiven. How many people want to hear of a Bible verse that changed my life? It's going to be Ephesians 4, verse 32. We're talking about returning the mercy to others, giving it to others as it's been so freely given to us by God. Ephesians 4, 32, as we come in for a landing here, and be ye kind one to another, tender, not hard-hearted, but tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Ephesians 4:32. This is a must-memorize verse right here, and a life truth that we must walk in every day. And we're going to be tested. If you haven't noticed, we are going to be tested by others and their offenses and their afflictions and their persecutions. And God requires that we forgive all others from our heart, and if we don't, he will not forgive us. James 3, he says, in many things we, that is we all, offend many. So we're responsible to make it right with those that we have wronged. Let me read this passage in Colossians 3. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God. This is a passage that I go to often to be reminded, to be recalibrated in what God aggrandizes, and that's walking in love toward God and all others. Colossians 3, 12 through 14. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Colossians 3, 12 through 14. Before we pray, let us be reminded that the Bible says, "Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath." The Bible says, "Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge," that's God, "standeth before the door." He's watching. He's getting ready to return. And anybody who has outstanding offenses against others is going to be condemned. This is not a game. If you die in sin, you're going to hell. You will never escape. Let's pray together concerning this word from God that we have heard from His word today. Heavenly Father, we pray in the name of Jesus that as you have lovingly forgiven us through the perfect sacrifice of Jesus, we choose today to return that same love and mercy to all others by your grace. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among His people and through His beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." Amen.